Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. There's a song that we sang, and I don't know if you sing it here or not. It says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Tonight. Would you folks do me a favor tonight? Would you? Would you just pray for me right now? I need the Lord to touch me physically, as well as I need Him spiritually. You don't have to gather around. Just lift up your voice unto the Lord. God, we need you tonight. We thank you for your presence. Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I need you right now to strengthen my body. I need you to quicken your word tonight. God, His strength is made perfect out of our weakness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter? Praise God. When you just get there, just say, praise the Lord. Ephesians, the third chapter. Praise God. It's good. All right, good man. It's good to see you all in the house of the Lord. I see some people that are missing some people that I look for every service. I understand they're probably working overtime somewhere. I'm sure some of our praise singers are with Pastor tonight. I miss Pastor tonight. Praise God. Amen. 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 I never liked to preach in the church when the pastor wasn't there. Amen. I never say why. Well, we need the shepherd here. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you would read with me tonight, Ephesians, the third chapter, and the 20th verse. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to preach on a four-letter word tonight. Most of the time in the English language, a lot of four-letter words are bad words. But we're going to preach on a four-letter word tonight. And that is, He is able. 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 A-B-L-E. Able. Would you just say, God is able. God is able. It didn't say, we're able. He's able. He is able. You can be seated. He is able. I felt in prayer this afternoon that I would be speaking to someone, maybe more than one or two, that has said something like this. I would like to live for God, but I don't think I can. And I'm going to tell you unequivocally, you can't. But He's able. It is not by might nor power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so I want to tell you tonight, whoever you are, His grace is sufficient. There's someone here tonight that There's some problem in your life that torments you and condemns you. And you just feel condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no need of feeling condemned. We're just going to have to follow the path of the Spirit tonight. He wants you to live in victory. Now listen, victory is not victory unless there is a fight. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that we're to fight the good fight of faith. Paul used different metaphors to describe a walk with God. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He didn't say we didn't wrestle. The word wrestle, you mean to struggle with things. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of struggles in my life. I've had a lot of things to deal with in my life. I've had a lot of things to overcome. I was not always a Christian for a long shot. However, I've been blessed and favored to have been raised around the church. It was not in my mind to live for God as a younger person. I didn't want to live for God. I thought apostolic people were stupid and crazy. And so I made light of this way, mocked it. But I want to tell you, one day God got a hold of my heart. And because of some of the things and the ways I thought and lived and acted, I've had a lot of struggles. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's nothing sweeter than victory. Hallelujah. And you know, you don't. How many would just like to come up here tonight and somebody just hand you a trophy? It wouldn't mean anything to you. Because you didn't earn it. Now, we're not talking about earning salvation. You'll never get good enough, work hard enough to deserve to be saved. But since He saved us by His grace, there are some things that there's battles to be fought, and there's battles to be won. And when there's, Paul talked about people running in a race. He talked about people that discipline themselves. And the scripture kept coming to my mind. I can't even remember where it is. But he says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now, I know what it means to strive for the masteries at some point in time in the athletic world. I don't look athletic, but I am. Or was. As the years go by, the better I was. No. But I know what it is to have to strive and to struggle and to press to attain something in this world. Whatever it may be. And to think that we come into the kingdom of God and we're just going to coast into heaven is an absurdity. Because the Bible says about saints of God, it says, he that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. And that word temperate means discipline in all things. And yet it somehow comes across I just can't make it. But I want to preach tonight that God is able. And the word able, everybody here uses it. It's a small word. But the word able means having enough power and skill. We're not talking about having it in ourselves. Hallelujah. But Paul said, he is able now unto him that is able to do exceeding
abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want it to be clear tonight. We're not talking about willpower. We're not talking about human power. We're not talking about horsepower. We're talking about divine power. That power that comes from heaven. That ability that God gives to every individual that has surrendered their heart and life to Him. And we live in a world that just they expect everything to just be handed to them on a platter. That's why they're rioting in the streets right now. That's why a lot of college students are over there whining and crying and sniveling. All because they thought they were going to get free college. They thought they were going to get their tuition paid for. Hey, friend, you never appreciate it if you don't get a little elbow grease in it. It doesn't mean anything to you if somebody just hands it out to you. And yet we live in a world that think that everybody ought to just give things to them. But I want you to know tonight that God has enough power and enough skill to take you from here to glory. You might have started off a little shaky, but I want to tell you tonight, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It is according to the power that dwelleth in us. Now, I want to talk to you about a familiar character in the Bible tonight. I want to tell you there will always be obstacles and opposition to you. There will always be things to overcome. There will be always be things that barriers that are thrown up to you. And if you're not careful, you'll just find yourself saying, well, I just can't. I wish I could, but this doesn't come by wishing. It comes by believing and trusting in God. Now, there will always be obstacles. There will always be opposition to your walk with the Lord. The Bible says, for your adversary, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goeth around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom steadfast resist in the faith. Did you get that? He comes like a roaring lion, but we're supposed to do what? Be steadfast. We're to resist him. Being steadfast in faith. Now, in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, is in an account. Is the story. Because stories start off once upon a time. And they all lived happily ever after. This is not a story. It is a detailed account of a young man and his God. The 17th chapter of 1 Samuel is the account of when the Philistines set the battle in array on one side of the mountain. And on the other side of the mountain, the Israelites set the battle in array. In between was the valley of Elah. I try to imagine when I read the Bible, I try to visualize, kind of get a picture of it. And I can see the Philistine army lining up rank by rank by rank by rank by rank by rank. Line. And I see the Israelites on this side. They're all getting in the line. They're all lining up. They're going to have a fight. And a lot of times in those days when they were waiting for a fight, they were beating on their shields with their sword. Boom, 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 boom. And while they were all working up their courage to get in this conflict, all of a sudden, before the command could be given to charge or whatever it is, where the battle of arms, where they clashed, if you would like to
If you would like to get a picture of what it was, this is a secular book, but it's about the historical event of the Battle of Thermopylae, the Battle of the Hot Gates, where the Spartans stood against the Persian army. 4,000 Spartans took on thousands upon thousands of Persians at the place, the Battle of the Hot Gates, Thermopylae. And it tells how that those Spartans defeated the Persians and saved all of Greece and Sparta. And if you read it, you'll find out that these men gave it everything they had. And so here it is. As they're getting ready to join in battle, the Bible says that there stepped out a champion. His name was Goliath of Gath, of the Philistines. He was 9 feet 8 inches tall. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, there's some basketball players that are over 7 feet. And he was a champion. He was a man that had fought many battles. In ancient times, there would be these men that developed into what they called champions, and they would step out and challenge individuals singly. And this is exactly what Goliath of Gath did. He said, I'm the Philistine. Send me a man to fight with me. And if he is able to overcome me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I kill him, then you will be our servants. And the Bible says, I believe it was for 30 days, the armies are lined up for battle. But before the battle can be joined, Goliath of Gath steps out and issues that challenge across the valley of Elah. And he said, I defy the armies of the Lord God of Israel. Give me a man. And all of Israel, from Saul the king, who was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel, you would think that he would step out and say, I'm going to take you, buddy. But he trembled in his camp with all the rest of the men of Israel. When the battle was called for, Goliath of Gath issued his challenge every morning and every evening. And there were no takers. No takers. Until David showed up, a young lad, and he heard the challenge, and he waited for the response. He no doubt looked around and said, nobody stepped out. And his brothers ridiculed him and said, You just come down here to see the fight. Well, he wasted his time. There was no fight. There was nobody fighting. And then all of a sudden, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine anyway? That he would defy the Lord God of Israel? And then he said, what's going to be done for the guy that fights this giant? And they said, his family will be free from taxes, and so forth and so on. And David said, I'm going to go fight the giant. And they took him to Saul. And Saul starts loading him down with junk. It was junk because David couldn't use it. It didn't fit. The armor didn't fit. Can you see him, a little young 70-year-old with Saul's helmet on, and it's all down over his eyes. He can't see, and he's got this sword that's too big and a shield he can't hardly pick up. And Saul says to David, you're just a youth. And this man is a warrior from his youth. And then David began to lay aside the paraphernalia that was given to him, well-intentioned but inadequate. And he just simply said, I haven't tested this. I don't know how it works. It's not for me. And along came the giant's challenge again. And he said, give me a man. And out stepped a teenager. David was probably 17, 18 years old at the time. And when the giant saw him, he said, am I a dog that you come out with after me with a stick? I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to take your flesh, and I'm going to feed it to the birds. And David spoke back and said, I'm going to take your head. And I'm going to give the whole army of the Philistines' body to the birds to eat. And he said, but the point I want to bring out is simply this. Goliath said, if he be able. If he be able. Saul said to David, you're not able. But David had a little bit of encouragement. He said, you know, while I was taking care of my daddy's sheep, there came a lion out. I don't know if it was a mountain lion or an African lion. I do know that lions roamed the country of Israel and Palestine, real African lion. And here this teenager said, this lion came out and took one of the lambs out of my father's flock. And he said, I smote him. That means I hit him. And he said, I tore him asunder. And that's his hide hanging on the shed, Fred. No kangaroos involved. And he said, a bear came. And he raised up himself against my father's flock. And he said, I killed him. The Lord helped me kill him. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not trying to be precise. Just getting the general picture. Now, I got a bear in my shed at home. He's dead now, but when he was alive, he weighed 600 pounds. Brother Fisher's dogs caught that bear for me in California about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe longer, on Christmas Eve. And when I walked up to that bear after we killed him, I immediately thought of David. And I would not have wanted. I faced that bear with a 270, 150 grain bullet. And we finished him off with a 44. But what I'm saying is, I thought of David. I just cannot conceive a grown man or a young man taking on a bear that size, let alone an African lion. But when God's Spirit moves on you, it doesn't matter the differential in size. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about physical strength here. We're talking about now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And by the way, the power that worketh in us is nothing short of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I want you to know you cannot live for God without it. That's why in Christianity there are so many frustrated people. That's why people are preaching from pulpits. You have to sin every day. It's because they don't have the power that works in us. And so,
What is the giant in your life tonight? I really feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. There are some folks that are facing some giants, some things of the past, some things, maybe old habits, seeing problems that you're facing, circumstances that you seem to think will just not let you really live for God. There's somebody here tonight that's bound up with some addictions. You've just made a good job of faking it. But I'm just going to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that knows what's troubling you. There's a God in heaven that knows that you're struggling, whatever it may be. Some of them it's lying. Some of it's stealing tonight. Some of it is profanity. I want you to know tonight you can't go to heaven lying, cussing, stealing, and drinking. I want you to know you can't live for God with that stuff in your heart. He didn't come to save us in sin. He came to save us away from sin. Nobody may know the internal struggle that you're going with tonight. There's a God in heaven that knows. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Bible tells us of this. David said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47, he said, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." David said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. And the Bible said the giant stood up and began to go to David. Listen to me tonight, friend. You that have got a giant in your life, I want to tell you something. You've got to quit running from it. You've got to quit dodging it. You've got to quit making excuses. You've got to quit whining and sniveling. You're going to have to do exactly what David did. In the 48th verse, it says, he made haste and ran towards the giant. He wasn't running from him. He wasn't hiding from him. He wasn't denying his existence. He just said, "I'm coming after you. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. After all, from a practical matter, a sling is not a match for a sword or a spear. The Bible said his spear was like a weaver's beam. I believe it said it weighed 600 talents of iron.
I don't want to shout out of my hearing aid here.
He had a coat of mail. He had brass greaves down his shins. He had a helmet of brass. And his shield was so large, he had to have a man designated to carry it for him. You get the picture? David was overmatched. He was overmatched. But the thing that balanced the scale was he knew God. He knew God. And so he went forth with a little sling, a child's, not necessarily a child's. The Bible said in the tribe of Benjamin, they had people that were left-handed and they could sling stones at a hair's breadth. They were good at it. But none of them volunteered. There were champions in Israel, but they didn't volunteer. I'm telling you, that's not the matter. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight and the dog. I want you to know today, God wants you to understand, you're not in this by yourself. You're not in this to live by your willpower. You're not in this because you know, sir, you're so smart. We're in this because that we know God. And without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And so the rest of that story, or that account, is after David hastened towards the giant,
He slung the stone. And God did the rest. God did the rest. And David was able to slay the giant with his own sword. The stone didn't kill Goliath. It knocked him out. But he never came to because David cut his head off. That sounds kind of gory, doesn't it? But I want you to know David walked around with that old giant's head in his hand. And he took it and gave it to Saul. Now, what I'm talking about tonight, what is facing you? What is it that's causing you grief in your walk with God tonight? Some of you just love the world. You know that if you really get in and live for God, there's some things going to change. And you say, I live for God, but. I live for God, but. I live for God, but this, but that. I want to tell you tonight, the thing that dogs you, you think you cannot live without, the thing I'm going to tell you, the thing, the very thing that you think keeps you from living for God is the very thing that's going to send you to hell. You say, oh, God said, no. But I want to tell you tonight, you may have struggled with it, and I'm really talking to somebody here tonight. Don't raise your hand. Just let me have liberty here. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. You've made excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And you got to the point you really believe it that you can't live for God. I'm going to tell you tonight that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that worketh in Him. The giant says you're not able. And maybe your friends will tell you you're not able. And you might be telling yourself, I'm not able. But I'm going to tell you tonight, He is able. Not only is He able, He will do it. He will transform your life. He will turn you around. He will deliver you. He will set you free. All right. Now, Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. So what are we talking about tonight? I'm going to have to depend upon the Lord. Say that to me. I'm going to have to depend upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not physical. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now the stronghold that I feel like I'm working on tonight is doubt and unbelief. Now, I wish I had the energy I need, but I don't. So I'm just going to have to go a little slow tonight. And fear. Doubt, unbelief. In fear. As long as you allow those things to dominate your thinking, you're going to get in nowhere. You will never taste the sweet taste of victory. You know, I know Stamades, he's my buddy. We work on the job together. He showed up the other day with a beanie. And if I'm wrong, just tell me wrong. I think he said, I gave $25 for this beanie. Was that what you... And I asked, and he said, well, they were asking $40, and I got it on sale for $25. I said, why would you pay $25 for a beanie? A wool, you know. He said, well, it's got a whoosh on it. Remember? You know what? Whoosh means? You know why they call them? Everybody says Nike. It's not Nike. It's Nike. It's a Greek word. It stands for victory. If there's anybody in this city that needs to be wearing a beanie with a whoosh on it, it's got to be me and you.
Because we thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I want to knock that pitch out of the park today. I want to tell you today, the God that I serve is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There's some people today that have such low self-esteem. You have been abused and battered. I want to tell you, let's get off of that train. We're no longer a victor. We are a victor. We're not a victim. We're a victor in Christ Jesus. I want you to know all those things are packed away. Behold, all things are made new. It doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter what you had to deal with. What matters is that you come to Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who made a way for you.
Hallelujah. And so they're not carnal, but they cast down and they bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's talk about some other teenagers or young people. The Bible talks about three young men. Mostly we know them by their Babylonian name. There's probably not anybody in here can tell me their Hebrew name. My cousin was preaching. He talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it wasn't Abednego. It was Abednego. And you know that account. The critical part of that account is that when the command was given for everybody to bow down and worship the image of gold on the plains of Dura, with the threat that if anybody doesn't bow down, they're going to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And when the music was played, across the plains of Dura, there was this mass sound of people scraping and bowing. But when those that were in charge looked around, they saw three young men standing by themselves. And they were brought before the king. Now, these were governors. These were people that, because of Daniel, these three men had been placed up in position of authority in Babylon. And when they didn't bow, that was a greater insult to the king than anybody else, because these three had been favored. And the king was wroth, but he was magnanimous and gracious at the same time. He said, "We're going to play the music one more time. And if you bow and worship my image, everything will be fine. But if you won't," he made a mistake. Nebuchadnezzar made a mistake. He threw out a challenge. And he said, "Who is that God that is able to deliver out of my hand?" And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said, "We don't need time to think it over. We're not careful to answer you." In other words, we're not worrying about answering you. "The God that we serve is able to deliver us out of your furnace. But even if he doesn't," now that's where the rubber meets the road.
He said, our God's able to do it. He's got the power and the skill. But even if He doesn't, we're not bowing to your image. And you know the rest of that story. I want to earn an account. I want you to know that they tapped in to the miraculous power of God. Because in the New Testament, Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And those three young men went into the furnace. It was so hot. It was so overheated. That the mighty men, the Bible said He took mighty men and bound them in their coats and in their hats. And the Bible said in their hosen. So I guess that means their socks. And when they opened up the door to the furnace and threw those three young men into that furnace, it was so hot. The heat was so intense that it killed the mighty men that threw them in there. And the Bible says, immediately after that, the king says, hey. Didn't we throw three men into the fire? And they said, yes. And he said, that port, but I see four down there. Walking around down there. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now, for all you Trinitarians, that is not what it said. It did say to the Nebuchadnezzar, it looked like the Son of God. But a few verses later, the Lord sent His angel. But I want to tell you tonight, the challenge was, who is this God that is able to deliver out of my hand? I'm king of Babylon. I want you to know there's a God that is not only able, but He will. But there may be times, friend, you want to be spared the furnace. You don't want to go in the furnace. You want God to save you from the furnace. I'm going to tell you that's good. But I'll tell you there ain't nothing like being in the furnace. There's not anything like being in it. When God's presence comes down and He begins to touch you and He makes a way. Different kind of trophy. Friends, you're going to go through. Brother Baldonado preached this morning. I appreciated that. You're going to go through things. A lot of folks want to dodge them. God wants to take you through. Then you'll have a testimony. But testimonies come from experiences with God. And so the three Hebrews went through the furnace. And they found out that the God that they served kept them in the furnace. I'm talking about temptation, in case you didn't know it. What is temptation? Anybody want to volunteer? What is temptation? Okay, no takers. It is a solicitation to do evil. It's an invitation to do wrong. Has anybody had any solicitations? Don't raise your hand. It may be your giant you're facing. For some of you, just want to let her rip and just tell somebody off in picturesque language. You heard about a woman that was always giving somebody a piece of her mind, don't you? Pretty soon she didn't have enough left for herself. There's folks that are struggling with profanity. When you're around the people of God, you kind of back it off a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, as the Lord God reigns in heaven, when you're not around the people of God, it ain't the words of your mouth. They're not acceptable in His sight. And you think, well, nobody heard. There's a God in heaven. So I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. When the Holy Ghost comes in, it will bring into captivity
It will deliver you. It'll put a new vocabulary in your mouth. It will put a new attitude in your heart. But let's not go around. Are you guys sitting down on me tonight? I don't care. I'm going to preach anyway. I'm just telling you. There's no need of beating around the bush. When you get down to prayer and you're having trouble with profanity or vulgarity or pornographic thoughts or pornograph on your computer or that little stash, you know, behind the door, I want to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven that will come down if you will but seek Him, if you will but go to Him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So when the temptation comes to compromise, to give in, or to shade it a little bit, I want you to know tonight that the God that we serve is able. When Daniel, you know these accounts I'm talking about tonight. I know I'm teaching Sunday school right now. But when the command was given that nobody can ask any petition of any god except the king for 30 days. Some folks just want to go along to get along. But when Daniel knew the law was signed, what did the Bible say? He went to his chamber as he had been doing before. That's the key, as he had been doing before. And he opened that window eastward towards Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day. And there were those people that ratted him out. And when the king found out it was Daniel, he did everything he could to spare Daniel the den of lions. But when they dropped Daniel down into that den of lions. Not a lion's den. I can live in a lion's den. It might be stinky, but I can live in a lion's den. And you could too. But I don't want to go into no den of lions. But you know what's funny? Though not funny, but peculiar. Those that trust God, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You don't read about any hand singing or crying or sniveling and say, oh, please don't put me in the lions, Daniel. Den of lions. Daniel went into that den of lions with great peace. And you know what the king was the one that didn't sleep all night. And the next thing he said in the morning, oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve continually, is He able to deliver you from the paw of the lion? The king didn't know if God was able. But David said, oh, king, live forever. Because God has sent His angel and locked the lion's mouth. I want to tell you today, the God that we serve, these are accounts of people of old. And none of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost like you and I have. There probably wasn't 25 people in the whole entire Old Testament that felt the Holy Ghost. When it gets right down to it, there probably wasn't 25 that really felt the presence of God. And it was only external. It was not in. But my Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And yet these individuals, they didn't even have a Bible. They didn't even have something to rehearse or to read or put their finger on. They didn't have, nothing was written down for them. And yet there's something burned in their soul because they said, I know, as Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know I'm going to stand by before Him in the last day. I know that He lives. They had an understanding that the God that they served was the creator of the ends of the earth. He upheld all things by the word of His power that stretched forth the heavens by Himself, and they trusted in Him.
And because of that, they were able to win great victories. And Isaiah 59 says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, have you ever been overwhelmed with problems, temptations, circumstances that seemed like they were going to do you in and you would not be able to stand for God? I got a promise and you got one too. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. So how can God do that? How can He do it? In Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're not talking about willpower tonight. We're not talking... You know, if it came to willpower, I'm a pretty stubborn guy. I'm just telling you. But willpower can't deliver you from hate. I know what it is to hate. I know what it is to want to kill people. Say, oh, no, yeah, I do. I know what it is to hate. Before I was 8 years old, my daddy walked out of my house and he left me and my mother. And I was almost 8 years old. My other brother was 18. He didn't care if we had food to eat. My mom didn't even have a car. She didn't even have a job. She went to the 8th grade in school. She had no education. And I know what it is to hate and want to hurt people. If you know and meet any of my family that knew me when I was a boy, not good. But I want to tell you, where God filled me with the Holy Ghost. When He filled me with the Holy Ghost, it was more than talking in tongues. Oh, I shouted and run and jumped, but it was more than that. The God of glory reached down into my heart, Sister Gloria, and He took that hate out. And I was no longer a prisoner to hate. And one day I was reading the Bible, and I found in Psalm 27, where David said like this, I think it's the 5th verse, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will pick me up. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you cannot afford, to allow hatred to be in your heart. Because the Bible says he that hates is a murderer. And no murderer has eternal life. I don't care what happened in your life. I don't care what you happened that just was just horrible and awful. I'm going to tell you, I remember when I was pastoring in Ventura, we won a lady to God, a single lady. And when she came to the Lord, it was such a wonderful thing. But one day in my office, she said, Pastor, I cannot and will not forgive my father for what he has done to me. I will not forgive him for the pain and anguish and abuse that was meted out upon me. And I says, I sat there behind my desk, and she was standing there so obstinate. And I'm telling you, there was a glare and a gleam in her eye that was not good. She said, I hate him, and I will never forgive him. And I looked back and I said, you will forgive him. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will.
She stormed out of my office. And I began to pray. The problem was, it's not that she couldn't, she wouldn't. She didn't want to. I got a right to be angry. I got a right to be mad. After all. But I'm going to tell you, I told her as she walked out the door. I said, "Sister, you just write this down in your book. The day's going to come. The day's going to come when you are going to forgive your dad." And she stomped out. I mean, I wish I'd had a video. I'm against video, but I wish I'd had one that day. There came a Sunday night, and I'll never forget it. She stood up to testify, and with tears running down her face, "The Lord has worked a miracle in my life, and I have forgiven my father for all that he did to me." And Brother Arnie, she had a sister that was a good Baptist, but she wasn't good enough to forgive. But that sister, when her daddy was sick and nobody would take care of him, I want you to know that little short chubby Jeannie, she moved into the house with her dad. And she took care of him until he died. Because I'm telling you, the God that we serve is able to deliver. You do not have to be in bondage to that. You do not have to be controlled by that. You do not have to be manipulated by that. I'm talking to you tonight. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want you to know you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I got more to say, but I'm going to close right now. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth." Listen, seeking to deliver them. A man whose heart. Now, I didn't put that back up there. I had a burp. I can't quote. Put that scripture back up there, please. Chronicles 16, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." I don't want to quote the rest of it because it's negative. I'm going to read it. "Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars." And that was spoken to Asa the king by the prophet. What is it saying to us tonight? Please stand. This has not been my best, but it's the best I can do right now under circumstances. Whatever giant is in your life, I told you tonight, God was... There were some people with problems and issues. I don't want to know what they are. I don't need to know. All I need to know is God. And the thing that's dogged your track, the thing that's hindering you, the temptation, the habit, the environment, the addiction, the eyes of the Lord are going across the congregation tonight. He is seeking to to prove himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. What that simply means is God is looking for an opportunity to be glorified in your life. He's looking for an opportunity to prove to you that he is able. And not only is he able, but he will do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Now let's not pass up an opportunity tonight. It's not saying you're backslid. That's not what I'm saying. I know people struggle. There is such things as the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. There are individuals here tonight that have besetting, ongoing, reoccurring problems. It doesn't mean you're evil itself. It just means there's a problem. But his eyes are running to and fro. You don't have to tell anybody in here beside you tonight. All you got to do is turn your eyes to Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm talking about Hebrews 2:18 says, he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He is able to succor, that means to help them that are tempted. The victory is here tonight. The victor is here, Jesus. And when you come to him with your weaknesses, your failings, your disappointments, your issues, your problems, David said, the snare is broken, and we are escaped. You know what a snare is, don't you? It's a trap. There's leg hold snares, and there's neck hold snares. David said he didn't just take me out of the snare. He broke it. What is that song you're playing, sister?
I love him too much to fail.
I love him too much to fail.